Hey folks, and welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. Hey folks, and welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. Now, The Grow Show is here to help you grow yourself, grow your community, and grow your business. And today's guest is the fantastic Duncan Price from MindInfinity. Hi Duncan, how are you doing?
Hi Gary, thanks for having me on your podcast.
No, it's great having you here. So for the people who don't know you, kind of give a brief description of what you're doing in about 30 seconds to a minute.
I love the sound of my own voice, and I use my voice as a hypnotherapist and coach to not help people, but to empower people to help themselves. I spend a lot of that time focusing on helping people with anxiety and stress-related problems. But realistically, the human mind's amazing, and it finds new ways to trip you up and get in your own way. I help people turn that around into something that can move them forward and help them get where they want to get to.
Nice. So is there any particular kind of areas that you focus on or you love helping people with?
Just everything. But obviously that's not very good from a marketing perspective, right? So anxiety is a huge, huge thing, particularly people who are under that misconception that they're stuck with it and it's something they just need to learn to cope with, because that's okay. Just not true. And it pains me that so many people believe that, because that causes a bigger problem within itself. And then the other aspect, I guess, is sleep. Because no matter what I'm dealing with, sleep is such an important, integral part of having a positive mindset and achieving more. It really underpins everything that I do.
Brilliant. So we'll have a talk about sleep. We'll touch upon anxiety later on in the show. But for now, just kind of recap on how you got to this point. Were you always into hypnotherapy?
Oh, definitely.
Was there a moment in your life where you kind of thought, this is a turning point, this is what I need to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So about 14 years ago, almost now, I met a bloke who was a hypnotherapist. And I thought, what a load of word that I won't say on a podcast. Because I had a lot of misconceptions, preconceptions, and misunderstandings of what it was all about. Mm-hmm. Because there's almost three schools of hypnosis out there. There's the pink and fluffy stuff.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely fine, and it can help a lot of people. There's nothing wrong with pink and fluffy, but it doesn't suit me and my approach.
So just to make sure, the pink and fluffy, what does that look like?
Without offending anyone. Someone who'd, hypnosis for relaxation, or when it's taken to the extreme where people use it for, people have beliefs around past life regression and things like this, yes. And they use hypnosis for it. That's not based in science. I'm not saying it doesn't work for those people and they love it and that's great. It's not me. It's not what I do. It's not based in science. And so therefore I draw a very solid line.
So great stuff. So that's pink and fluffy. Pink and fluffy. Yes. So what's the second type?
Another part of it that's not really quite me is the stage hypnosis, the showmanship. And again, nothing wrong with a bit of showmanship. It can be good fun. But there's a lot. It relies on the belief that hypnotist has the ability to control people. And that's not true. And actually causes a lot of misunderstandings around how I do what I do, because it's not about controlling people. Actually, there's two elements to hypnosis. There is the trance-like state, mm-hmm. and there is suggestion, both of which you and everyone listening to this has already experienced. So that trance-like state could be when you take a drive that you make all the time and you get to your destination, you go, oh, I'm here already. Or there's a queue of people in a supermarket, and before you know it, can I help? Oh, sorry, I was somewhere else. They're just examples of a light trance state. All I do is help people achieve an even deeper, more relaxed state. Gotcha. And then the suggestion, again, you're surrounded by suggestions every day. Like when someone says, you were right, you look tired, and then suddenly that makes you feel more tired because that's what you're focusing on at the time.
Yeah.
So what I do is I actually help people take more control of themselves by understanding that they can choose which suggestions they listen to, and by allowing them to have the option to take on board positive suggestions on that subconscious level, which help them achieve what they want to achieve.
Brilliant. So 14 years ago, you met someone who, you won't say what word on the podcast, which is fine. What led you to that point?
I was networking on behalf of another business, not one of mine. And he was there at this networking event. And he seemed really fascinating. And the way that he explained it helped me to understand it a bit better. And then I did what I do and what all cool kids do, right? Which is research. So I went home and I started reading peer-reviewed papers because I'm really cool like that. And looking into it and its origins, and just found it fascinating and realized that actually it is based in science. It is an interesting area of sort of psychology and understanding of the mind, and it made a lot of sense to me.
So what were you doing at that point in terms of profession before moving into the hypnotherapy kind of arena?
At that point, I was, well, at that point, I think I was networking on behalf of my dad, who's a therapist of the physical sort, as opposed to the mental and emotional sort. And shortly after that, I was running my own business doing audiovisual work.
Okay, because people
I didn't at all,
which is quite cool, but actually makes a lot of sense. So in terms of the 40, I'm really kind of, so you met this guy at networking, you were interested in him, so you did loads of research, and peer-to-peer papers aren't exactly the most riveting read, like you've already kind of
really not so I started off with just Wikipedia and the easy stuff to digest, but then I don't stop there because I'm sad.
So what followed after that? Did you go on courses?
I went back to that same guy and had a further conversation with him. Because I liked him. He seemed like a nice bloke. He seemed like he had the right kind of personality and approach that made sense to me. So I went back and had a chat with him about it. And he said, buy my stuff. I don't think he worded it that way. I think he said, why don't you come along and check out my workshop?
Yeah.
And so I went along and I learned self-hypnosis. So I learned how to do it to myself, which sounded even more bizarre than the idea of hypnotherapy to begin with, right? But then there was this beautiful moment I remember really clearly where I was lying on my back, staring up at polystyrene ceiling tiles, thinking, this bloke has the best job in the world. He gets to spend his life not helping people, but showing people, giving people the tools and the understanding to go out and help themselves and change lives, you know? That's amazing. And I decided that's what I wanted to do. And that's when it was off the back of that workshop and doing it for myself, that I then went into studying hypnotherapy and NLP to begin with, doing diplomas in that, and then various other things beyond that to expand that research, yeah.
Brilliant. So just a chance meeting of one person.
Absolutely. I mean,
a networking event.
To look at the bigger picture, it started long before that point, because there were times when I was much younger, which then made so much more sense as I began to understand the mind and how it works better, which all tied in. So, you know, that was the turning point that made the difference. But I'd always been that person that people come to talk to about their problems, but never wanted to be the person to just sit and listen to people moan, you know?
Fair enough. And now people literally pay you to sleep with them.
They do. No. People pay to come and sleep with me.
Yeah.
So I don't sleep with them. They do.
So let's talk about sleep for a little bit, because that's something that a lot of people will either love and have really good habits surrounding it, or they'll hate it and they see it as a distraction, or they haven't got the right habits there. So was there a time when, have you got your sleep sorted? Are you kind of literally practicing?
There are exceptions to that. So I'm not going to sit here and say, yes, everyone should sleep exactly the same time and keep that same routine every single day, 365 days a year. No, I also like to go out and get hammered every now and again. Or have a late night with the friends, or stay up late around the campfire, or whatever it might be. So consistency is important, but you're allowed to have a life outside of that.
Cool. And why is it important? Let's break it down into the basic bones. So why is it important?
So important for so many reasons. And I could fill 20 minutes of just listing stuff, but that'd be really boring. So let's just highlight a couple of key points that make a big difference. So ultimately, you will be, as in any human being will be, so much more productive if you've rested properly and slept properly. You'll be so much more able to engage with the creative parts of your mind, and also you'll be so much more positive And you and I both know positivity plays a huge part in life, in feeling happy and in achieving more. So ultimately, everything in life can be better if you sleep better. It allows you to manage stress better. Yeah. You know, there are studies that show that getting just 6 hours sleep a night, and that's not uncommon, especially for a lot of business owners to get 6 hours sleep a night. People are like, yeah, I can function on that. And you can, just not very well. In fact, studies have shown that getting just 6 hours a night instead of 7.5, there's this whole myth of it being 8 hours. 7.5 is perfect, by the way.
Yeah.
Because it's 90-minute cycles. So 7.5 hours of actual sleep is generally better than eight. But getting just six, your reaction times slow down to the same level that they would if you were drunk. As in,
you over the pause there just a second. So your reactions level slow down
to the point that they would if you were drunk. So if you go out and drive a car on a full night's sleep and compare your reaction speeds to having only 6 hours sleep, and compare that to a full night's sleep but being drunk, as in over the legal limit, I'm not talking about being completely off your face, with 6 hours sleep you're driving more like you're drunk than you are when you've had a full night's sleep.
Wow, that's a picture. And
it's scary, man, it's very scary.
And kind of throwing that out into more of a business arena, if let's say you've had 6 hours sleeps and that's your reaction time in terms of when you're physically doing something, then actually what you want to do is place yourself in the best way possible to focus on each decision. And actually, if you've got less reaction times,
think about how many decisions you make in a day. And you've probably heard of decision fatigue. So by the end of the day, you're less likely to make good decisions. Imagine how much sooner that point comes and how much more difficult it is if you've not had a decent night's sleep.
Wow. So is there kind of some common stuff that people tend not to do, which puts them it puts them on the wrong foot to start off with? And then we'll go on to some top tips afterwards.
Cool. So most common issue, especially in this day and age, is mobile phones and screens in general. So firstly, staring at screens within the last sort of hour running up to bed is really bad. The amount of blue light is bad because it reduces the amount of melatonin you're going to produce, which is known as the sleep hormone. Slight misnomer, to be honest, but it helps you achieve a better quality of sleep when you've got more melatonin. So staring at screens, not good because of the blue light, but also not good because it's constantly changing pixels. So it's saying, hey, wake up and think about lots of stuff, even if you're just scrolling a Facebook feed. It also, a lot of people tend to do it in bed. So laying in bed with your phone is then basically saying, hey, this is a place where we play on a phone, rather than this is a place where we sleep. So creating that bed equals sleep is really important as well. And phones just damage all of that. And then the other thing they do is they make it the first, so often for a lot of people, they're the first thing you reach for in the morning. Which means then you're starting your day off looking at notifications from what other people want to focus on, rather than starting your day with what you want to focus on. So the simplest thing you can do, or the easiest thing you can do, is put your phone on charge at the end of your bed, the other side of the room, somewhere where you won't reach for it. That's one huge thing you can do. But there's so many different things that you can do, and so much advice that I've got to offer, depending on individual people and what is right and best for them.
Brilliant. Now, I almost kind of want to suggest that you have a sleeping guide or something available for them to kind of read and take away. I'm guessing you've already got one. So
I have. In fact, I originally wrote one about 2.5 years ago, but recently, at the time of recording this, rewrote it. It's been rewritten and it's been updated, improved on, and I've got my designer to work on it, and it looks amazing now.
It looks amazing, guys.
So shout out to Simon Clemens. But that is available from my website, mindaffinity.co.uk/sleep-well. And from there, for free, you can download that guide. It's like 12 pages of information, tips, hints, and ideas on how you can improve not just how easy it is to get to sleep, but the quality of your sleep, which is so important.
I was going to say, and actually, as a small business owner myself, and you know, other people who are listening, they'll be in that same boat. You know, I know it took me quite a while to kind of hit the stop button on checking my notifications first thing in the morning because it was a slave. Most people do it. I wouldn't say everybody does it, but most people do it. And just by cutting that one single action out, it makes such a difference at the start of the day. But in the evening as well, less screen time is definitely needed. So honestly, if you listen to this podcast now, check out the guide. And Duncan, if you can send me a link to that guide, I'll put it in the show notes as well. At least then it'll make it dead easy for people to find it. Now we're coming to the end of the show, but I don't want to finish on this point. So let's catch up with another chat later on in the year for part two of this kind of thing, where we can talk a bit more about the anxiety and sleep number two. But in the meantime, if people want to check you out on Facebook, I know you've got a kick-ass group. So give a quick shout out to your Facebook group.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm loving my group. The engagement in there is awesome at the minute. So just search Facebook for Empower Yourself and Others, or if you fancy putting the URL in, it's facebook.com/groups/EmpowerYourselfandOthers, all as one word. And that'll take you right to my group. Please do answer the questions when you join. It's not essential. I'll probably let you in anyway because I'm quite nice like that. But if you answer the questions, it helps me to know what I can do best to help and support the people in my group.
Love it. Putting your people in your group first. It's brilliant.
Absolutely.
Yes. And also, you've obviously got the guide that we'll link to. Websites and social media, how can people find you and get in touch?
Check out Mind Affinity. I'm on most of the social media. I'm not that active on all of them, although by the time this podcast goes out, I'll be more active on some, I'm sure. But Facebook is the easiest way to find me, or my website, or just contact me directly. My details are on the website, and I'm sure you'll probably pop something down in the comments of this video as well, of this podcast.
We will do indeed. And I ask everybody who comes onto the show what their final thought would be for this episode. So what is your one golden tip, your final thought you want to share with the listeners today?
My final thought is, out of everything that's a challenge or an obstacle or getting in your way right now, the biggest thing that gets in your way and stops you from overcoming those other challenges is you. So if you're struggling to sleep, bringing it back to that, then the biggest thing that you need to change is you. By making the intention to decide that you're going to sleep better, check out the guide, follow the advice, and actually put something into practice. Do something different to achieve different results. But if sleep isn't a problem for you, take that same advice, that same knowledge that you are the one thing that you have the most control over, and the biggest impact you can have is changing you.
Brilliant. Duncan, thank you so, so much for being on the show. Catch up soon.
Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Cheers.